The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl. The handle unmarked. But the gun has killed and the man has killed. People call them both the six-shooter.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Buck Benny, a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke. Man, lots of things to talk about last week's episode, but let's first, I've been putting off talking about all the characters on the show, and I said I would do that. Certainly, we've been getting established the character of Matt Dillon, played by William Conrad, and Parley Bear has been featured more and more to develop his character with of Chester. We have had the character of Doc, of course, that's been developing, and I talked more about him in one of the earlier podcasts. In this case, I want to focus a little bit on Georgia Ellis's character, who plays, of course, Kitty. And we heard Kitty, it might have been her first performance as Kitty last week, I think, but she could have been on the week before that. We just don't have the full episode. I only had 7 minutes of it, so who knows, she might have been on it. But it felt like maybe it was her first appearance, and I thought they did a good job with Kitty's first appearance. It got across the main parts of her character, but certainly more adult in the feeling of it than it, you would expect. The whole episode was very, very adult. I mean, with, what was it, 4 deaths in the first few minutes of the episode, and they weren't just like they come up and find these bodies. No, it was where they have the young kid show up, and he's and he dies while he's explaining what happened. And then Chester and Matt go out to check on the family and find the woman talks to them a little bit, the mom, and then she dies. The dad is scalped, I believe, if I remember right. And then they go and find the daughter and imply that she's... They talk about how beautiful she was. They dance around the issue, but it certainly implies that she was raped and then murdered after that. So that's pretty adult stuff. And then, of course, the Kitty angle. Definitely Kitty's telling Matt that she would like to meet him after work at 2 in the morning. I can't imagine what they'd do at 2 in the morning if they were getting together. So that was... And of course, Matt turns her down, and then, but says he'll see her around. She says sure, and so they get that whole thing going where she's in love with him, obviously, but he's not ready, and that will go throughout the whole series, including the television series as well. So, just a wonderful series of episodes, and like I say, these first ones really, really bent on showing us that this is an adult. Themed show, and that they're going to give us serious stuff and handle it in a different way than any other Western that's ever been on radio or any other show that's ever been on radio. So, but I'm really enjoying it. I hope you are too, and we'll talk more about it next time.
Oh, and I should point out that in both our episodes tonight of Gunsmoke and The Six Shooter, I believe they both feature actor... Richard Dick Beals, who always plays children's parts because he has this wonderfully childlike voice. But at this point in time, he's 25 years old when he does both of these parts you'll hear tonight. I think they're both Richard Beals. The second one, certainly the first one is, on Gunsmoke. on the six shooter, his voice doesn't sound quite right to me. He's doing a little different version of his voice than usual. So, but I still think that's Richard Beals on that episode as well. But his acting career is so amazing because he started it in early radio and then carried it over through years and years and years of acting like he was always a preteen or early teenager throughout his entire career, right up until the end. He passed away here 5 years ago, I guess. And it's certainly wonderful to hear his voice on any programs that we get a chance to. So I hope you're going to enjoy both these programs today. The Gunsmoke episode is actually written by series co-creator Norm MacDonald. And he does an episode maybe a couple times a year. He does a few more than I thought he would. I thought maybe he would only do one or two episodes, but he's done quite a few. And both he and John Meston come back for the final season of Gunsmoke on radio and do a few episodes together and so forth. But anyway, it's neat to hear his take on an episode. Not this Gunsmoke episode, probably not as... There's something different about it. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just doesn't feel like certainly a Meston Gunsmoke episode. I described just a minute ago, this is actually from 5 years ago that I was describing this, but I described earlier in this introduction just how dark the earlier episode was, and that made it feel more like a Meston-type episode. John Meston's first episode that he's going to be writing, I think comes up next week or the week after that. Anyway, we'll talk about that some when we hit that. But I hope you're going to enjoy both episodes. A really nice episode of The Six Shooter. Like I say, an interesting episode for sure of Gunsmoke. And keep tuning in every week for another Gunsmoke and another Six Shooter, whenever we can have them both available anyway. Without further ado, let's go.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Well, Chester?
It's another one, Mr. Dillon. Laying near his wagon. The horse was still hitched and was grazing.
Another stabbing?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. Two buffalo hunters found him early this morning on the road leading out to Cimarron Crossing. We just brought him back.
Who was he?
His name was Jones. Les Jones. Been in town a couple of days buying supplies and food.
Where'd he come from?
Well, some of the boys told me he's got a little farm on up the Arkansas piece. Got a wife, too. Poor little thing, they tell me.
Yeah. You know anything more about him?
He was at Tab Slade's saloon last night playing faro.
Drunk?
Oh, we'd had a belt or two, but not drunk. Did all right at the faro table. Pretty much had $2,000.
$3,000 and a widow woman on the Arkansas River.
Beg pardon, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, nothing, Chester. The money's gone, of course.
Yes, sir.
Ask the doc to come down when he can, will you, Chester?
All right. Doc, come down a minute. Mr. Dillon wants you.
Coming! I'm coming.
Did Jones have a gun on him, Chester?
He found a sharp special in his spring wagon. He wasn't carrying anything on him. It's outside. You want to see it?
Had it been fired?
No, sir.
Well, good morning, Marshal. Want to see me?
I want to ask you a question, Doc.
Yeah?
There have been two stabbings in 2 months. Jones makes the third. You think the same person killed the other two?
Well, there's no way to be sure, but from the position of the wound on the body and from the angle of the knife thrust, I'd say that the killer or killers used the same...
Doc, I just wanted a simple answer.
Yes, I think the same person murdered all three men.
Yeah. Any way of telling how long Jones has been dead?
Oh, well, I'm not a Pinkerton man, but I'd say sometime after midnight. Between 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe. And I'd also say from the amount of bleeding...
Okay, Doc. Chester?
Yes, Mr. Jones?
Get my horse. I'm going to ride out to the Jones place. I figure Ms. Jones will want to know.
Hello, mister.
Howdy, bub.
I live here. Where are you from?
I'm from Dodge.
Dodge? Sneak you right all the way from Dodge?
Sure.
Get down and I'll water your horse.
All right. Yeah, here you are. What's your name, son?
Alvin Jones. My dad is Les Jones. I guess you know him, huh?
Yeah, sure. I guess most everybody knows him. Your mother in the house?
Are you going to stay for dinner?
Well, I don't think so. Is she in the house?
Yeah, she's there. Just go on up. Don't worry about your horse.
Thank you. It's not Alvin, Ms. Jones.
Oh, I am sorry. I thought it was my son.
My name is Dillon, Ms. Jones. Marshall Dillon of Dodge.
Come in, Marshall.
Thank you, ma'am.
You care for some buttermilk? Or maybe out here men don't drink buttermilk like they do at home.
Well, thank you, but nothing for me. Ms. Jones, I got some unpleasantness for you.
Yes?
It's about your husband.
He's in trouble?
I left Dodge 4 hours ago. I thought I should be the one to tell you.
He's hurt bad.
More than bad, Miss Jones.
I pulled the saddle off your horse, mister. Snakes ain't a good one.
Well, thank you, son.
Alvin... This is Marshall Dillon from Dodge.
The Marshall?
Alvin, your pa won't be home for a while, the Marshal said.
Well, not for how long?
Well,
not for how long, Ma?
Not for quite a time, son, so you'll have to run things a while longer.
Snakes, I can take care of Ma, all right?
Sure you can, Alvin. Would you stay to eat?
No, thank you, ma'am. I gotta get back to Dodge. Ms. Jones, could
yes,
I...
Yes, Mr. Dillon.
Talk to the boy, Ms. Jones. Explain it so he won't be bitter. Too many gunfighters got their start from a killing like his.
I'll try, Mr. Dillon. I'll try.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Make sure you got enough whiskey to finish the night this thirsty weather.
Oh, we've got plenty, Mr. Slade. If no fight starts that... Oh, Mr. Slade.
Huh?
There's company coming. Marshal Dillon just walked in.
Oh, set that bottle of rye up on the bar.
Yes, sir.
Howdy, Matt. Join me in a drink?
No, thank you. I will.
Looks kind of dry. You've been traveling?
Yeah, I've been up the river a bit to the Jones place.
Jones?
Tell his wife she's a widow.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. It's too bad.
He was in here last night, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, he was.
You wouldn't know anything about his being killed, would you?
What are you asking me, Dillon?
Straight question.
Are you saying I killed him?
Just asked a question, Slate.
I don't know anything.
Someone knifed that man after he left here. He was taking a lot of money out of your place. You had a reason.
I wasn't even here last night. My partner, Ben Ramirez, was running the place.
Where were you?
I was with his sister.
All evening?
Till late enough.
Where's Ben and his sister now?
I don't know. Home, I guess.
Well, I think I'll ride out and have a talk with him. And Slade.
Yeah?
If you have any big winners tonight, make sure they get home safe. Huh?
You cannot see me?
No, I can't see you.
Well, don't be mad at me. I'll come to where you are. You see? One side of the shadow, and here I am. What do you want?
I'm looking for Ben Ramirez.
He is not at home.
Or his sister.
I am his sister. What's the matter? You don't believe me?
Well, yes, ma'am, but I thought...
You thought I would be in the house? Why, when the night is so beautiful? You want to talk with me?
I want to talk with your brother.
But he's not here. So why not talk with me?
My name's Matt Dillon. I'm Marshal of Dodge.
I know. I've been wanting to meet you.
Yeah, I've come on business.
I like business. Talk with me.
Last night, maybe after midnight, a man was killed on the river road.
Killed?
By a knife stabbed in the chest.
Why do you tell me this?
He was carrying $3,000 he won at Slade's.
And so?
Tab Slade told me he spent last evening with you.
He came for dinner. He often does. He thinks he loves me.
Your brother, was he here?
Tab Slade and Ben own the saloon together. They're partners. They think at least one should be there all the time. Ben went down after we ate.
Did Slade, was he here long?
Yes. He's my fiancé. So it's all that. Isn't this Marshall?
Well, that's your business, Miss Ramirez.
My name is Evelita. You could call me Eve.
Well, when do you expect your brother?
I don't know what my brother does. He may be home soon. He may be late. I don't know. I've seen you when I've been in town, Matt Dillon.
Yeah?
I don't ride in often. Slade's such a fool. He and my brother don't like me to come to town.
Well, Dodge is rough, Miss Ramirez.
Always he has to protect me. Men are such fools. But Matt Dillon is not so. Are you? You wouldn't keep me out of town?
Well, that's not my affair, Miss Ramirez. It'd be for your brother and Tab Slade to say.
Tab Slade thinks we will marry. Well, we won't. Because I don't love him. I don't love anybody. But I could. Maybe.
And Ms. Ramirez...
Don't you find me attractive?
Well, yes, I'm...
Oh, why don't you kiss me?
Well, no, I didn't mean
no.
to...
Dillon? I've got a gun pointed at the back of your head.
Ben... I want to...
Fooling with another man's fiancé isn't smart, Dillon.
Ben, please.
Eve, go inside. Aren't you going to say anything, Dillon?
What do you want me to say, Ben?
Oh, by this time, most men would be crawling. You're a hard one, Dillon.
I can't fight a man who's behind me in the dark with his gun drawn.
There, is that better? You can see me now. It takes a small man to make love to another man's woman.
You can't haze me into a draw.
I'm not trying to. I don't want a gunfight. I just want to talk, Dillon.
Well, you're calling it.
I saw Slade just a few minutes after you left this place.
told me you were trying to tie us with a murder. I said he was wrong and came up here to get the straight of things. From what I saw a minute ago, he might have been right after all. You'd like his woman, so it'd be handy to have him out of the way.
Is that the way you figure it, Ramirez?
Yeah, that's the way I figure
it. The only reason I came to your place was to talk to you. I want to find the killer, Mr. Jones, and thought you might be able to help.
Well, you're not going to get any information sniffing around Eve.
What's your plan, Ramirez?
I'll give you some advice, Marshal. Tab Slade's been a good friend of me, and I'll help him protect anything that's his. Eve's his, so stay away. You're not going to find a killer while you're saying pretty things.
Are you through? All right, then listen to me. You say Slade had nothing to do with those killings. I won't say he did because I don't know, but I'm going to find out who did it, and if it was Slade, I'll get him. Now, do I ride back to town?
Yeah, ride back to Dodge, Marshal, and between here and where your horse is tied, don't so much as twitch a finger.
I don't know whether you're a fool or a brave man, Ramirez, but just let me give you one bit of advice. Don't tie to the wrong brand. It's easy to do.
Just walk away, Marshal. To your horse. And walk easy. Marshal.
Yeah?
If you find out who killed Jones, let me know.
I'll do that, Ben. I sure will.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first...
Hello, I'm Kathy Lewis, the girl who plays Jane on My Friend Irma. Irma, tie this string around your finger to remind you that starting Sunday, we go on the air at 9:30 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
All right, Jane.
Good girl. Now, what's that string to remind you of?
To buy some more string?
That's My Friend Irma, whom you can now hear on Sundays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
Remember, My Friend Irma is now heard at a new later time on Sundays. Check your local schedules. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon?
What? Who is it?
It's Chester, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, Chester. Wait a minute. What time is it?
Almost 4 in the morning, Mr. Dillon.
4?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry to have to wake you, but you better get dressed and come right away. They've got Tab Slade.
Slade? Who's got Slade?
Some of the ranchers. They're going to lynch him right in front of his saloon.
Well, go and try and hold him for a minute. I'll be right along.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon's going to have every one of you up for trial.
No reason for you to get hurt.
All right, Chester, I'll take over.
Marshal, we don't want to have trouble with you, but we're going to hang Tab Slade.
Right now.
Harrison, you're too smart a man to be the head of a mob like this, and I tell your men to break it up and go home.
I'm sorry, Marshal, I can't do that. Slade killed another man tonight, and he's going to pay for it.
All right, now listen to me, all of you. If Tab Slade killed a man tonight, I'm going to...
He did.
If you can prove Tab Slade killed a man tonight, I'll take him to jail and hold him there for trial.
Marshal, Tab ain't going to be alive to stand trial.
Do you know Slade killed anybody? If one of these men lays a hand on Tab Slade, I'll start shooting. There'll be a lot of men dead.
How about you, Marshal? Might be you get hurt, too.
That's right, John. You could kill me, all right. But which of you is going to shoot first and die first? Huh? Well, which one?
Chester?
Yes, sir.
Go pull Slade off that horse. Cut the ropes and take a gag out of his mouth.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
And you men, don't anybody make a mistake. Don't you move a shadow.
All right, Slade, get on off there.
All right, Chester. Now, you and Slade walk back to the far side of the street, slow.
Yes.
I tried to tell him I had nothing to do.
The rest of you just stand where you are, looking right here at me. First man so much as moves his eyes will be in real trouble.
We're across the street, Mr. Dillon.
Good, Chester. Now, walk Slade down to the jail and put him in a cell for safekeeping. Now, Harrison, you and your boys head for home, and if you got any sense at all, forget to tell your families what you were almost a party to. Now, good night, gentlemen. Chester, what happened tonight?
A man named Olson, a rancher, was at Slade's place.
Gambling?
Yes, sir, and he did pretty fair. He left around midnight and was found about 2 hours later. He'd been stabbed. His money was gone.
You talk with him?
Yes, sir. He just mumbled about having tried to be friendly. He said that several times, Mr. Dillon. Just being friendly. Then he said, I fired a couple of times. I think it hit.
You mean he hit whoever stabbed him?
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah. You say anything else?
Nothing.
Well, that's not much help in just that. He can't tell us any more. I'll talk with Slade and I'll bring him out, huh?
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon wants you, Slade.
Matt, you gotta believe me. I don't know anything about the killing, this one or any of the others.
I don't have to believe anything, Slade. I'll find out for
myself.
But
I didn't do it, Matt.
Why is everybody sure you did? Why are they so sure that they're trying to lynch you?
Look, does a lynch mob have to be sure of anything?
Slade, before you came here to Dodge, you were a gunfighter. You had a bad reputation. You were in with the Kansas Raiders,
sure,
too.
Right.
The Raiders were killers and thieves.
Some were.
Now, when a man with your background goes straight, he's always suspect.
Matt, I didn't have anything to do with the killing.
What about this partner of yours, this Ramirez?
I met him in Kansas, him and his sister. We joined up and came out here. Thought we'd make good a team.
Where's Ramirez now?
I don't know. Matt, please listen to
you're
me.
You're
going to
marry
his
sister?
No. Yeah, Matt, I don't know.
Why isn't Ramirez around now that you're in trouble?
Please, maybe he doesn't know. I don't know.
He'd know by now. The news is all over Dodge. Chester?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon?
Put Slade back in his cell, then load your shotgun and keep a close watch on him.
Well, where are you going, Mr. Dillon?
I'm going to take a ride out to the Ramirez place. I want to have a talk with Mr. Ben Ramirez and his sister, Eve. Don't move. Just stay where you are, Ramirez.
It's late for a social call, Dillon.
Why? You're still dressed?
I was just going to turn in.
Last time we talked, you had a gun in my back. Now your gun's on your hip, and it'd be smart to keep it there.
I'm not going to try a shootout with you, Dillon. I wouldn't chance it, especially in this lamplight.
There'll be no reason for anyone to draw. I just want the answer to some questions.
What questions?
Where's Eve?
What do you want her for?
I ask you a question, Ramirez. I want an answer. Where's Eve?
She's in bed.
Where was she around 3 this morning?
Here, I suppose, asleep.
I think you better get her out here, Ramirez.
What's so important about Eve?
A man was killed this morning, and I think she might have done it.
You know what you're saying?
Yeah, I know.
You're calling my sister a murderer.
That's right. And if you're going for your gun, Ramirez, make sure you're ready to die.
I told you before, I'm not a fool. But if I can trick you, I'll kill you.
Don't try, Ramirez.
Why do you say my sister killed a man?
No hand around these parts would stop for anyone on the road at night. Not unless it was someone they knew or someone they didn't have to fear, like a woman. Like your sister.
You don't know anything, Dillon, and you're guessing wrong.
I didn't know when I got here, but now I'm sure.
What do you mean?
The man who died tonight shot at and hit the person who stabbed him. The
There's no blood on you, but there's blood on the floor over there by the door. Blood that could have come from a gunshot wound.
That doesn't prove anything.
And there's blood on the table by you there.
It's not blood, it's just a shadow from the lamp.
No, the lamp won't light. Does it hurt, Ramirez?
I hurt inside.
Bad?
I won't be around for the trial.
Did she do it, Ramirez? Did your sister kill those men?
She's not my sister. She's my wife.
Wife?
Yeah, that's why she didn't marry Slade. She's in the other room. Hurt bad. Get a doctor for her.
Ramirez?
She's no good. But I loved her.
Yeah, she's got a horse. I saw your horse grazing when I topped that slope.
Matt, what are you going to do with me?
Take you back to Dodge? Have you up for trial?
There's no point. I wouldn't live long on horseback. I've bled too much already.
Yeah. Is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable?
No. Nothing.
Eve, can you tell me why? Why you killed four men?
For a very simple reason. I wanted the money they had. I wanted it very much. Matt, I've been thinking about my husband. Is he dead, Matt? Did you kill him?
He went for his gun, Eve. I killed him.
He was kind to me. I tried to love him, but I couldn't. I didn't love anything but money. Maybe, Matt, I could have loved. Now I'm sorry for everything. Matt?
Yeah?
It's very lonely. Would you do something for me?
Sure.
Would you hold my hand? Good. That's good. Very good. I'll just rest here a minute longer. And perhaps I can...
She lay there, her dark hair framing her face, the spring grass crushed by her body, a red stain across her silk blouse. The morning sun warmed the soft wind that moved across the land. Later that day, Eve Ramirez and her husband were buried on the outskirts of Dodge City. Not far from the banks of the Arkansas River. And later that night, Dodge City was alive with saddle bums, ranchers, cattlemen, searching the dark of the Kansas night for excitement and life. Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Special music for tonight's story was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in our cast were Georgia Ellis, Hi Everback, and Jack Crucian, with Richard Beals and Morrison and Herb Ellis. Parley Bear is Chester, and Howard McNair is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Don't miss Gangbusters and the Case of the Variable Blonde later tonight on most of these same CBS radio stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking, and this is the CBS Radio Network.
In just a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of the many great stars brought to you on Sundays on NBC. Every Sunday, hear Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage, Sir Laurence Olivier on Theatre Royal, and Lawrence Tippett with the Golden Voices, Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, and Lily Palmer on the NBC Star Playhouse. All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you will hear Act One of The Six Shooter. A lot of vacations start as a daydream and end as a daydream for lack of money. That need not happen to you. You can have extra money when you need it. Simply join the payroll savings plan for buying United States savings bonds. When your bonds mature, you'll get back $4 for every $3 you invest. And there's your extra money, your vacation, both guaranteed. Ask your employer about buying United States savings bonds through the payroll savings plan, and then join. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
The wind had died down, and it was quiet now. The only thing I could hear was the creek trickling away about 20 feet down from where I'd made camp for the night. I shifted my blanket, turned over on one side. The moon came out, and I could see the water skimming along, washing the pebbles clean. And Archie, it's funny the way the sound of a crick always makes you drowsy. I started to close my eyes, and then I got that same feeling again. That feeling I'd had all day. Scarfella, too. Ever since we turned off the main road into the trail to Petersville, I'd had a hunch that there was another horse not very far behind. Whoever was riding them managed to keep out of sight, but it was the same kind of a hunch you get when you feel a pair of eyes drilling into the back of your neck and then turn around and spot somebody staring at you. But Scar hadn't been traveling very fast. Anybody could have caught us to us real easy. The fellow back there hadn't wanted to catch up. That is, if my hunch was right. Wouldn't be the first time I played the wrong hunch. You know? No point of losing sleep over it, anyhow. It was Scar that woke me up. I could see a shadow over by my pile of grub, not more than 6-8 feet away. I inched my hand from under the blanket, and I got a grip on my gun. Are you looking for something, mister? Now, now. Hold on. Oh, just a minute. Hold on now. There. That's better. I'd kind of like to find out why you're pretty young to be roaming around this country, aren't you, son?
I'm 11.
Ah. You the fellow's been following me all day?
It's a free trail, ain't it?
Yeah, guess it is.
Then you ain't got no right to interfere with my riding over it.
Oh, that's true enough. But you haven't got much right stealing my grub, either.
I didn't steal any.
Well, that's what you were fixing to do, isn't it?
Maybe.
Ah. Now, if you're hungry, you're welcome to it. I got plenty of grub here, but you just didn't have to come sneaking around to...
I didn't know who you was. I was afraid you might try to send me back home.
Uh-huh. Well, just where is home?
Crescent.
Oh. Well, if you'll stir up the fire, I'll see what I can do about heating up some beans. How's that sound?
I'd appreciate it.
Good. All right. Hand me that pan over there, will you? There we are.
You won't tell nobody you ran into me, will you, mister? You won't tell them you seen me.
Well, I...
You're not taking me back to Crescent. No matter what happens, I'm not going back there. You understand that?
I'll take it easy now. You're not the first boy to run away from home. Far from it. Most of them hike off when they're about your age, and... But they don't usually miss more than one meal before they turn back. At least I didn't. What happened? Your dad give you a whipping?
No, sir. My pop wouldn't hurt me either. He's a fine man. The finest man that ever lived.
Sure, yeah. Well, here's your beans.
I'm heading for Petersville to find my father. He told me when I was big enough I could join up with him. Well, big enough now, ain't I?
Well, you're a real good-sized boy for 11. Say that much. How come you haven't been staying with your dad?
He moves around a lot.
Oh, I see.
So I've been living with Aunt Aggie ever since Ma died. But it's not the same as being with your own pa.
No, I just didn't.
And I made up my mind. As soon as I found out where he was, I was going to him.
Mm-hmm. You sure your dad's in Petersville?
Aunt Aggie got a letter from here last Monday. I heard her talking to Uncle Ray about it and heard him mention Pa's name. He sounded kind of worried, like something had happened to him.
Uh-huh.
Then when they saw me, they shut up. You reckon Pa's sick? You reckon that's what they were talking about?
I don't know, son. It could be that.
I asked them what was in the letter, but they wouldn't tell me. Now I'm going to find out for myself.
Well, seeing how I'm heading for Petersville, too, I guess there's no reason why we shouldn't ride along together. And if we're going to be traveling companions, we ought to introduce ourselves, don't you think?
My name's Larkin. Rink Larkin.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Rink. I'm Britt Ponsett.
Britt Ponsett?
That's right.
Fellow they call a six-shooter? Gee whiz, Mr. Ponsett. I didn't mean to talk back to you the way I did. If I'd known who you was. Say, would you mind showing me your gun? I've heard folks talk about that gun of yours ever since I was a kid.
Sure. Here, catch.
Oh, boy. Ain't near as heavy as it looks.
Well, you know about guns, Rank?
Some. Want to see me give it a twirl?
Sure, let's see. Hey, that's fine. Whoop.
Of course, it ain't the way you do it, though. But here, Mr. Ponsett, Thanks for showing it to me.
Sure. Well, I guess we still got a couple hours before sunup. Why don't you bring your horse over here by the fire? Maybe we can get some shut-eye.
Good idea. Oh, Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah?
I'm mighty pleased I bumped into you tonight.
So am I, Rank. So am I. We got an early start the next morning. That is, considering that it took me almost half an hour to get Rank awake and on his feet. It was about 4 o'clock when we got into Petersville. I'd been through that way for a couple of years, but the town, it hadn't changed much. But the only thing different I saw was a new livery stable and a fresh coat of green paint on the Jackson Hotel. Men playing checkers in the front porch, they hadn't changed at all. Except maybe their beards a little grayer. Of course, yeah, my hair wasn't exactly the same shade it used to be, you know. But that was from being out in the sun so much. At least that's how I figured. Well, we pulled up beside a yellow adobe building right next door to the hotel and climbed off our horses. Well, come on, Rank. Let's go inside and see what we can find out about your father.
That's the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. Sure, he'll know where he is. What's the matter, Rank?
I don't like sheriffs, that's all.
Huh. Haven't been giving you trouble, have they?
I don't like them neither. Heard him say so once. He was talking to a friend of his and heard him say how he hated some sheriff.
Oh, well, I don't imagine he was talking about Sheriff Jay. There's good sheriffs and bad sheriffs, like everything else. But most of them are good. Come on now, come on.
Ponson.
Hello, Sheriff. Hi.
What in thunderation you doing in Petersville?
Well, the widow Jenkins has gone east for her daughter's wedding. She asked me to look after her place while she's away.
Well, it sure is good to see you. Say, who's your friend here?
No, this is Rink, Sheriff. He was coming to Petersville, too, so we decided to ride along together.
Pleased to meet you, son.
Howdy.
Matter of fact, that's why we stopped in to talk to you. Rink wants to find out about his father.
I'd be glad to help out if I can. What's his name, son?
Larkin. Earl Larkin.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You're just a couple of hours too late.
Too late?
I wrote to your pa's sister in Crescent. Her answer came in on the morning stage. She said she didn't want your pa's body for us to bury him here. Funeral was this morning.
Pa's dead?
But, why, you knew about him being killed, didn't you? Your aunt told you.
I guess she didn't, Sheriff.
Oh, I didn't mean to blurt it out, Britt. I figured...
How did it happen?
We don't have to talk about that now, son.
I want to know. What happened?
Look, suppose you come up to my house for supper, huh? After you've had a nice home-cooked meal.
It won't do you no good to stall, Sheriff. I want to know who killed him.
You'll find out anyway, Sheriff.
Yeah, I guess he will. All right, son. It was me.
You?
Marshal over at Atterbury sent word that Larkin and his pal Cliff Traeger were heading this way. I'd heard about him before. I knew what to expect. He rode into town about noontime. I was waiting inside the bank. I'd deputized some of the boys, and they were with me. Your pa and Traeger didn't have a chance, son, but they shot it out anyway. Wouldn't drop their guns, even though we had the draw on them. Traeger, he got away into the hills. But Larkin, I'm really sorry, son. Sorry I had to be the one to do it, and even sorrier I had to tell you about it.
You're a liar. A dirty, stinking liar. My pa never tried to rob no bank. You take it back, what you said about him. I'll make you take it back, every word.
Now, you...
Dirty rotten...
Now, Rink, here, get a hold of yourself here now.
Go on me, you kill my pa. He's a murderer,
Rink! I didn't want to hit you, Rank, but I...
Why shouldn't you hit me? You're his friend, ain't you? He killed my pa, and you're his friend.
I think I ought to go after him, Britt. Try to explain.
No, I expect it's best to leave him by himself for a while.
But this wasn't the first holdup Larkin and Traeger tried to pull out by a long shot. I didn't have no chance.
Yeah.
Well, someday the boy will understand. Someday when he's older.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is, things don't wait for a person to reach the understanding age. They happen anyway, whether a person's ready for them or not. It doesn't look like Rink's ready. Not for this, anyway.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. Monday night brings magnificent musical programs to the NBC radio network. It's an evening designed for restful relaxation, a time to sit back in your favorite chair and listen to melodies old and new on such famous programs as The Voice of Firestone, The Railroad Hour, and The Telephone Hour. The Voice of Firestone continues to enchant radio audiences from coast to coast, and the program is now in its 25th year. Also on Monday evenings, enjoy the operettas presented on the Railroad Hour. Gordon McRae is your Railroad Hour host, and each week he is joined by a charming guest artist in the stellar productions of this fine show. You'll also want to hear the Telephone Hour every week, as it presents the music of Donald Voorhees and the Bell Symphonic Orchestra and Chorus, as well as superb guest soloists. Listen Monday evenings on the NBC Radio Network. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
After I made sure of a room for the night, I started out looking for Rink. I had a hunch I wouldn't have a hard time finding him. There was only one cemetery in Petersville, a sloping hill west of town. Pines all around it and soft green ferns mixed in between the trees. Rink was there, sitting on his haunches right beside a mound of fresh earth. He wasn't crying, but his cheeks were streaked with wet dust where the tears had been. Oh, Rink. Say, if these things were your paws, I thought maybe you might like to have them here. You want some supper?
I'm not hungry.
Yeah, well...
You believe what the sheriff said, don't you? You believe he was right to kill Pa?
Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see how it happened.
But you're on his side anyway.
Well, people don't have sides, Rink. Not on a thing like this.
I do. I'm on Pa's side. He was a good man. Never did anybody harm, never. No matter what that lying sheriff says.
Well, maybe you saw your dad different from other folks. And that doesn't mean you're wrong. Maybe with you, he was different.
I want to make it up for him, Mr. Ponson. I'm going to get even with that sheriff. I will, so help me.
Now, you listen to me.
Let me alone, Mr. Ponson. Just stop John and let me alone.
All right. All right, Rink. Now, if you change your mind, you know where the hotel is, huh? Good night. I thought he would change his mind. I thought it'd get cold out there in a couple hours and he'd come sneaking into the hotel room, but he didn't. He didn't change his mind. I had the room all to myself. I didn't sleep very much, though. You know how it is when you're expecting something to happen, you sort of keep thinking about it in spite of yourself, and you just don't sleep very sound. Anyway, I... Yeah? Who is it?
Me, Britt. Sheriff Jay.
Oh, come on in, Sheriff. Oh, morning.
Hope I didn't wake you.
No, I wasn't asleep. I should have been up a long time ago, but hand me my boots, sir, will you?
Hmm? Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Hey, boy's not with you.
No. No, I haven't seen him since last night. Don't know where he went.
Oh?
Something the matter?
Thompson's hardware store was robbed about 3 a.m. No money missing. Just a revolver and some bullets, as far as Brad Thompson can tell.
Oh, I see.
Got in through the back window. Found some boot prints outside. Mm-hmm. Small boots. Size a boy'd be wearing.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
You find anything else?
Yeah. There's a pretty clear trail leading away from behind the store. It'd be real easy to follow. Almost as if the fellow who robbed the hardware store left the tracks intentional so somebody'd come after him.
What happened to that towel? Here it is.
It was the Larkin kid, wasn't it, Britt?
Oh, it could have been.
Don't tell me he's got some fool notion of revenge on his father.
Why, he did say something about getting even, Jay.
So he figures when I go riding after him, he'll get a chance to kill me. That how you see it?
It's pretty hard to be sure what's going on a youngster's head sometimes.
Doggone it, Britt. Sometimes I wonder why I keep on wearing this star. No matter what you do, it's wrong. Earl Larkin ain't the first man I've killed, not by a long sight. And he deserved it more than most. Killing him didn't end nothing. Just turned his kid bad. I guess I should have...
Let Larkin kill you?
Oh, no.
You going after Rink?
Maybe the kid will come to his senses.
When you're 11 years old and you get set on accomplishing something, you don't change your mind very easy, you know.
What do you expect me to do, Britt? Whip in those hills and shoot it out with an 11-year-old boy? I got a son of my own. Ned's just about the same age as Rink.
Oh?
If Rink was covering me right now, there in that door, if I saw his finger starting to squeeze the trigger, I wouldn't be able to shoot. No matter what, I wouldn't be able to shoot.
Where's his trail lead?
East, over toward Skull Mountain.
Oh, Widow Jenkins' ranch right over that way. I'm riding out to see her this morning.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter whether I go after Rink or he comes after me. Might as well get it over with. That's what you think I ought to do, ain't it, Britt?
Oh, no. No, not necessarily. All I was thinking was that if you did happen to decide to follow Rink, well, we could ride out together, part way at least. We're getting pretty close to Black Canyon, aren't we?
Yeah, it's only about half a mile.
If somebody wanted to set up an ambush, that canyon wouldn't be a good place, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, here's the turnoff to the Jenkins Ranch.
Huh? Oh, yes. That's right. Well... Ma Jenkins wasn't expecting me before sundown, so I didn't need to turn off just yet. I could ride along with Sheriff Jay a little bit further. We were moving through Black Canyon now, rocks on both sides, plenty of cover for a person who wanted it. Rink's trail went right straight ahead, and that's why we didn't pay much attention to what was happening behind us. Not enough attention, anyway. I did hear something, a little scratching noise. By the time I turned my head, a barrel of a revolver was poked out through a crevice between two boulders. And it wasn't Rink who was holding the gun.
All right, boys.
What?
And don't rage.
Trigger!
Told you not to rage. Next time won't be your hand. Who are you?
My name's Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Oh. Sure took your time coming after me, Sheriff. Were you waiting for somebody like the six shooter to give you a hand?
I never thought you'd be fool enough to hang around. I give you credit for having good sense.
I'd have been glad to move on, but my horse went lame on me. Besides, you put a bullet through my shoulder, remember? Just hold still, Sheriff. The wound is healed now. Okay, climb out of the saddle. But don't hurry things. Come down slow, one at a time. You first, Ponsett. Your turn, Sheriff. Now, walk forward a couple of steps. Away from your horses. Hold it. Oh, boy, I forget it. What happened to Larkin? I said...
He died a couple of hours after you and him held up the bank.
Well, that's the way it goes. All right, now let's...
You haven't seen his kid, have you?
What? Larkin's kid?
Yeah, a boy about 11 years old.
And what would I be... You mean he's in these parts?
Yeah, he's gunning for the sheriff here.
Sure takes after his own man, don't he?
What do you mean, Traeger?
Huh? Well, that was Larkin's trouble. Liked a gun too much.
Oh?
Sure. Wasn't so bad when we first teamed up, but after a while he wasn't happy unless he could start a gunfight. Ask the sheriff. You know how he was there at the bank. Now, if it had been up to me, we'd have given up when we saw he had us cornered, but not Earl. Anyhow.
You might have been better off if you'd given up.
No, not me, Ponson. Earl, maybe, but not me. Anyway, he'd have been killed sooner or later. Fellas always blazing away, someone's always going to blaze back at him.
Uh-huh.
Now, me, I'm different. I don't enjoy killing the way Earl did.
Of course, that's good.
There's times when a man don't have no choice.
Trigger.
Like today, maybe. I gotta have a horse, and I gotta make a break out of these hills.
Now, look, Traeger.
Well, as I see it, there's only one way of getting a horse and of making sure you boys don't follow me.
Traeger!
At least, that's how I see it. So, I guess it don't leave me much choice, does it?
He cocked his gun, and a ray of sunlight glinted off the barrel as he tilted up just a fraction of an inch, and then his trigger finger started curling back real slow. Like he was playing with us, making us wonder which one of us. I wasn't sure which one of us was going to get it first. If it was me, Sheriff Jay might have a chance to draw before Trigger could fire again. If it was the sheriff, then I... His aim was right between us. He was taunting us, and he knew it. And the slightest move by either one of us...
Yeah, that's right. Keep on wondering. Keep shaking. Nerves. Which one you thinking? But it's going to be both of you. Because you're nice and you're close.
And his trigger finger kept tightening. Slowly.
And boys, it's going to be now. So...
For a split second, Trigger just stood there. Not moving. And then he fell down on his face. And I saw a rink rise up from behind a rock about 8 feet away.
Rink!
Hello, Sheriff. Mr. Ponson.
Hello, Rink.
You. Holy mackerel, son. You sure turned up at the right time. You been hiding behind that rock all the time?
You see me, didn't you, Mr. Ponson? When I snuck up behind that rock? Well, you kept talking about Pa.
I thought I saw somebody. Figured it might be you. Sure hoped it was.
I'm glad I heard what he said, Mr. Ponson. Otherwise, I'd never have believed about... I'm sorry I called you a liar, Sheriff. I'm sorry I tried to get you out here so I could...
Now, don't you worry about that, Rick. We're mighty grateful for what you did, both of us. You sure know how to handle a gun.
Pa taught me. I still don't see how he could have been the kind of man who was also so good to me.
Sure, Rank. Sure, I know.
Well, sounds like Traeger's still got some life in him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we better be... getting him back to town. Come on, Rank, give us a hand. Well, since I was going to be alone on the Jenkins place while Maul Jenkins went east, there didn't seem to be any good reason why Rank couldn't stay along there for a while, too. At least until the time for school take up again. So I wrote a letter back to his aunt explaining things. She wrote back. She didn't seem to have any objections. But... somehow, reading between the lines, I got the feeling she kind of missed that boy, Rank. And, well, wasn't very long before he began to miss her, too.
One of the finest things you can do is support your local Community Chest or United Fund. Through them, you can make just one yearly contribution that takes care of many needs. Since only one campaign is staged, much time and effort are saved. Your money is collected and administered honestly and efficiently. So give generously to your Community Chest or your local United Fund. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Sammy Ogg, Russell Thorson, and Tony Barrett. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Hear Stroke of Fate next on the NBC Radio Network.